From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
When I graduated, I didn't have a job, so I was still serving at a wing restaurant, like working crazy hours, but I was sending like air checks and like applications out to everybody, and nobody was biting. Like, I'm still getting no's to jobs I applied to for like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I decided to go home, and I was just like, you know what? I'm going to put my pride to the side, and I'm just going to take an internship. So I had emailed the lady. Her name is Alice Lee. She's the only black female in the state of Florida to own her own radio station. So I emailed her. She set up an interview. The interview was so long, but that night she was like, I don't want you to be my intern. I want to hire you.
Megan Meg Taylor, on-air radio personality and assistant program director with WTUG and founder of Women in Radio. Women in Radio is a community of women in radio who are shaping the culture. Taylor hopes the organization can shed light on all the amazing things women around the world are doing in radio. Dorothy Brunson was the first African-American woman to own a radio station. Brunson bought Baltimore's WEBB-AM in 1979 and later added stations in Atlanta and Wilmington, North Carolina, to her lineup. She sold those stations in 1990 so she could start in television. She established WGTW-TV in Burlington, New Jersey, and became the first African-American woman to start a television station. Brunson was a pioneer in African-American women's broadcasting, paving the way for future generations. I'm Johnny O'Hanson, Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, Meg Taylor, on-air personality and founder of Women in Radio, In Black America.
When I was in college, I didn't, and I still don't have a mentor. And I think at the end of the day, that would have helped my experience. First of all, I'm grateful for my experience, but I think it would have helped me a little more. It would have calmed me down. So what I didn't want anybody else to feel that way. In our community, we do have a lot of women who are in college, who aren't in commercial radio, though. But we also have a lot of women who are on commercial radio and they don't have anyone to talk to about their problems or their struggles because they feel like the other women in their building are like competition and things like that. So I wanted to break that barrier of it being a competition. I just wanted a place where we could just like bid and just show off our amazing skills because women in radio are so dope.
Meg Taylor is an on-air personality and assistant program director with WTUG Radio in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. She prides herself on being the voice of the new generation, while paying homage and respect to those who came before her. She enjoys being active in her community and mentoring and empowering girls to express their true voice. Born in Alton, Illinois, her family moved a lot. She's a graduate of Florida A&M University's School of Journalism and Graphic Communications. In summer 2016, Taylor decided to take a leap of faith to found Women in Radio, an organization she hopes can shed light on all the amazing things women around the world are doing in radio. On August 1, 1948, when WHOD in Homestead, Pennsylvania went on the air for the first time, Mary D. Dudley broadcast her first 15-minute show to become the nation's first African-American female disc jockey with a daily show. In doing so, she broke racial and gender barriers. After 6 months, the show expanded to an hour, and 2 years later, to 2 hours. She broadcast on WHOD from 1948 to 1956. According to Taylor, Women in Radio is a community of women in radio who are shaping the culture in their respective genre. It's a place where women can feel a sense of togetherness, and it's an organization that isn't limited to on-air personalities.
We moved around a lot. I was born in Alton, Illinois, and then we moved to like the suburbs of Chicago, then actually Chicago, then Nashville, then the suburbs of Nashville. Then we moved to Florida. I did high school in Florida, and then I went to college at Florida A&M University.
And what was it like moving a lot when you were young?
It taught me how to make friends, but also it taught me how people are. And I think it really helped me because I can get along with anybody and I understand everybody's story.
Any brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have one older sister who is an activist. I have a younger sister who's at Wake Forest and a younger brother in high school in Vero Beach, Florida.
So what were some of your favorite subjects while you were in high school?
I went to a charter school. It was also a performing arts school. I did ballet there, and my last year I did acting. So those are my favorite subjects. I also liked economics, oddly enough.
So how did you happen to select FAMU as your undergraduate?
It was very last minute when I was walking across the stage for high school graduation. I didn't even know I had gotten accepted yet, and I was going in August. But I had applied to a school in California, and I got accepted there. But it was just way too far for my family's comfort, so I just decided to stay in Florida. And I'm glad I made that decision. FAMU helped me out tremendously.
So, did you major in journalism or do you major in radio?
I majored in broadcast journalism, which at FAMU, they more so deal with the TV side of broadcast and not so much the radio. So a lot of the stuff I do know about radio is kind of like self-taught or just by trial and error and things like that.
And why did you select broadcast journalism?
Well, I always wanted to be on TV, but I'm also shy, so that didn't work out. And plus, my freshman year at FAMU, they don't let you get on the news program. You have to wait, and I didn't want to wait. So I did radio because I've always been a fan of music, and it just worked out, and I've been doing it since.
Did you listen to a lot of radio while you were growing up?
Definitely. Living in Chicago, WGCI,
Right.
like, it's up there. So I remember being a little girl and my dad driving us to school listening to WGCI. And we
So,
still have like a mug from WGCI. It's so old.
really? So you remember listening to Tom Joyner and Doug Banks in there. Right.
Exactly.
So while you were in broadcast journalism at FAMU, what were some of the things that were taught?
We learned a lot about like ethics, which is really big, integrity and things like that. We also, I'm a writer, but I wasn't a good writer for journalism, and they really helped me improve on my writing, which I appreciate. And also, we did a lot. I got interested in like politics just by being in J school because a lot of our stories were covering that.
And so that brought you to where? The politics part of what you were learning.
Well, I'm pretty shy when it comes to politics, like speaking about it and publicly, but I do a lot of research. Like I was saying, my older sister is an activist, so I kind of let her have that side of it, but I'm an undercover like politician, I guess, or like social activist, things like that.
What happened after you graduated? I understand I was reading this information that you was working at a wings restaurant when you decided to go home and take an internship at a local radio
Yes.
station.
Right. So since the age of 15, I've been working. I've always served. It's like it just comes natural to me or whatever. But when I graduated, I didn't have a job. So I was still serving at a wing restaurant, like working crazy hours, but I was sending like air checks and like applications out to everybody, and nobody was biting. Like I'm still getting no's to jobs I applied to for like 2 years ago. So but yeah, so I decided to go home and I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna put my pride to the side and I'm just gonna take an internship. So I had emailed the lady. Her name is Alice Lee. She's the only black female in the state of Florida to own her own radio station. So I emailed her. She set up an interview. The interview was so long, but that night she was like, I don't want you to be my intern. I want to hire you. So that night I did my first show. I recorded my first show. I was filling in for a guy and I was just so nervous. But after working under her, she is like a businesswoman to the core. Like she's so inspirational. And that's how I got my start in commercial radio.
Now, I remember my first night on the air and I made a bunch of mistakes. What were some of the mistakes you made that first night? Do you
I
remember?
think I said the wrong radio station. I think I said the radio station I was in college, like, as a call number and name, and I was just like, oh my God. I was just so nervous, and when I get nervous, I start speaking very fast. So that's probably another mistake I made too.
So what type of radio station was it? What kind of music were they playing?
It was Urban AC.
The Urban AC.
But they hit like the older like demographic of Urban AC, like 35 to 54 or something like that.
So were the records on turntables or they are on cart machines?
Oh, no. We were a little bit more advanced, thankfully.
So I'm just dating myself, so. So what did that process teach you about this industry?
It definitely taught me about patience. I think people use the term millennials a lot, but we're just so hungry, and we know a lot, but we're not patient. And I think everything is a process, so things take time. And if you don't want to wait for them, then you need to create your own. But while you're at the bottom, you're going to have to be patient. And that's one thing I've learned, and I'm still learning to this day because I'm still impatient, but I'm working on it.
What were some of the things that you learned in broadcast journalism at FAMU that helped you out that first night on the air?
Oh, I had this one professor. I think you know him, actually, Michael Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How did you know I knew Michael Douglas?
Because when I was graduating, I had emailed you.
Oh, my goodness.
Before I was graduating. But,
okay.
Yeah, but he was all about, like, enunciation and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to say O instead of zero. Like, I'd be like 305. He's like,
right.
No, it's 305. So things like that always stick with me. I love him so much.
So from that first radio station, how many stations have you worked at?
After that one, I was in West Palm Beach for a year, and then I just moved from West Palm Beach to Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
So how do you keep yourself on the cutting edge? I heard you, like I said, the night before last, and it sounds great, but how do you keep that edge of not getting complacent while you are on the air?
Sometimes you just have to switch it up, and I get so excited. First of all, I love radio, so I get excited, and I think a lot of people can tell that in my voice. So, like, every new day is exciting for me. I just do my research on everything that's going on, like, entertainment-wise or things that are affecting us locally in the Tuscaloosa area, and that is what keeps me going.
And how do you go about mapping out your goals? Are you mapping out your steps in which you're trying to achieve in a certain length of time?
Right. Yes. My screen on my phone is a picture of my goals. Like, I'm always on my phone, so I was like, why not put my goals there? Because I'm gonna look at it often. But I'm really big on goal setting and writing down my goals, and I try to get everyone around me to do the same thing. I'm really big on that, and a lot of them do happen because I work for it and I set those goals.
I know that's right. If you're just joining us, I'm Johnny O. Hanson, Jr., and you're listening to In Black America from KUT Radio, and we're speaking with Mag Taylor, on-air personality, assistant program director with WTUG and founder of Women in Radio. Being assistant program director, Ms. Taylor, what are some of your responsibilities?
This is also new to me. My responsibilities are just helping the program director. My program director is also the operations manager for, we have six stations here.
Whoa.
So he has a lot on his plate. So I just try to do as much as I can to help everyone, really.
And do you consider when you go on the air, what your program going to be like that evening?
Yes, I am like a note taker to the core. Like, I write everything down. I think it's like OCD or something. I don't know. But everything that is going on and what I'm going to talk about is written down.
And who do you consider some of your peers in the field? Some of the people that you look up to or may, try to emulate from time to time?
There's a lady in Texas, Houston, Texas. Her name's Debbie Brown.
Mm-hmm.
She's amazing to me. She's just so full of positivity, and I really appreciate that. And also, like, she doesn't conform to, like, the hip-hop lifestyle that we see. And so she's just herself authentically, and I really appreciate that. And she seems pretty genuine.
How do you, I guess, the best way to say, how do you put up being noticed and infamous in Tuscaloosa when you go out and about and make personal appearances?
Well, I'm pretty new to the area still, but a lot of people notice my voice
right.
first.
Yes, that's
and they're
right.
like, how come you didn't tell me you're on radio? And I'm just like, I didn't know like that was supposed to be my introduction. Like, I don't really tell people I'm on radio unless they ask me, point out what, like, blank out what they do, what I do or whatever. So, I don't know. I'm shy.
I understand. Obviously, it's more than just being on the air playing music. Now you have to keep up with information on the website. Is that fun to do?
It is. I like when I'm able to do my own personal writing. We do a lot of local news mm-hmm, stories here, mm-hmm. but I try to throw in my own writing in the mix. Like, I just, for Thanksgiving, I did a story, a blog on what I'm thankful for. And when I first started working here, I was telling, like, well, I was writing about, like, my experience here so far. So I like it.
What brought you to the point of founding Women in Radio?
What brought me to the point, when I was in college, I didn't, and I still don't have a mentor. And I think at the end of the day, that would have helped my experience. First of all, I'm grateful for my experience, but I think it would have helped me a little more. It would have calmed me down. So what I didn't want anybody else to feel that way. In our community, we do have a lot of women who are in college, who aren't in commercial radio, though. But we also have a lot of women who are on commercial radio, and they don't have anyone to talk to about their problems or their struggles because they feel like the other women in their building are like competition and things like that. So I wanted to break that barrier of it being a competition. I just wanted a place where we could just like vent and just show off our amazing skills because women in radio are so dope. So that's how I got to that point.
Having said that, what are some of the obstacles, if any, that you have had to encounter thus far?
One obstacle was, I mean, at the end of the day, you have to call it how it is, like the pay gap. I wasn't getting paid as much as my male counterparts, and that wasn't fair to me. And then just like the politics of it all and like the gossip and things like that, I try to stay away from.
And when you thought about founding the organization, and I read on the website, it's just not just for on air. It encompasses the whole industry itself.
Exactly, because there's so many women who inspire me who are in radio, but they're not on air, and we don't hear their stories. Like, there's a woman program director in Miami. Her name's Jill Strada.
Mm-hmm.
People know her because that's a big radio station down there, but she's not on air. She's running two stations as a program director, and that's so awesome. But there's also people who are, like, in sales who are making, the business deals. And there's even, like, the secretaries and stuff, and they're a part of how radio functions. So I wanted to include everybody and not just leave it to people who are on air.
And how has the organization been thus far?
It's been amazing. At first, I didn't see it. I mean, it's not as big as I want it, but I know it's growing at a really fast rate, and I don't think I saw that in my vision at first, but I'm really appreciative of all the support that we're getting. We get a lot of support, and it means the world.
When you put the organization together, obviously you had, had to think about it. So how long did that process take? You know, you thought about it probably one evening driving home from work, and actually putting pen to paper, actually putting those thoughts into reality.
Right. So I thought about it last January.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I think of, like, an idea or a name of a company, I'm fast. Like, I know social media is came right now. So I made the Women in Radio Instagram page, but I didn't do anything with it. I sat on it until June or July, and then that's when I came out with everything, and we've had a really good response. But it took like a good 6 or 7 months.
Why do you believe radio is a good industry for women such as yourself?
Because it lets me be myself. Like I said, I'm shy. So I do want to get into TV like later on, but radio, I'm able to tell my stories. People are able to listen to me whenever in a car. People can't really watch TV when they're driving, but they can listen to me. And I just love music, so I love radio.
What do you believe separates you from other on-air personalities, male or female?
Well, one thing that separates me is I'm me at the end of the day. I have a lot. I mean, I'm young, but I have a story like everybody else. And I feel like my story is important to share. And I'm at the end of the day, I'm a genuine person. I struggle. I fall. I get back up. And I think that helps. I'm not scared nor ashamed to share my stories at all.
Do you think college is necessary to get in the industry?
You know what? I've had this talk a couple times, and there's a lot of people in radio who are older than me. They didn't go to college, but they're amazing broadcasters, and that's okay. But one thing I'm seeing now, a new trend, is stations on their website for applications, they're asking for if you have your bachelor's degree. That's a requirement. But I'm happy that I went to college. I needed those experiences, and I needed that radio station at FAMU.
What are some of the myths about women radio that you heard before, if any?
Oh, there's so many. Like, we're easy. Like, we hook up with all the artists, da-da-da-da. Like, no, it's not like that. Well, I mean, it could be like that, but it's not like that for me at all.
What are some of the perks? Because I remember when I first started going to all the concerts for free. So what are some of the perks that radio announcers can avail themselves of?
Definitely like the concerts and things like that. And then networking. My whole thing is networking, meeting people who aren't, I mean, they don't have to be in radio, but they can benefit, or we can both benefit each other by our job titles, or, hey, if you need something, let me know, things like that.
When I look at the industry, there are women, but I think males probably outnumber women in the industry. What do you see women have to do to increase their numbers?
This one's tricky. What I always see is like the morning shows. Like every morning show has like a male, like the male is like the dominant. It's
gotcha.
Nick in the Morning or whatever, with Lucy as a sidekick. And I think listeners would be open for change. I just think nobody has really tried it yet, and if they did, they need to try it again.
Well, the only one that I'm aware of, because I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, is Dee Dee in the Morning. She's has a highly rated radio program, but of course she's going up against the two national, Steve Harvey and Tom Joyner. But you do make a good point. Most of the morning programs, the lead jock is a male and the sidekick is a female, and there needs probably to be some adjustment to that.
Right.
Do you see in the future where you want to see yourself? Is it always on air, or is it going into management, or, you know, being a program director or a station manager?
In the future, I want to own my own radio station, but I know there's steps to that. So definitely being a program director, I still want to keep Women in Radio going. So we'll see how that works out. I also want to eventually work for Sirius Radio too, so we'll see.
How does one join your organization?
For right now, it's really nothing to join it. I get that question a lot.
So how can they get hooked up with
you? Basically, you just have to follow us on Instagram and stuff like that. We'll shout you out. And we have our website. We have our merchandise, like the T-shirts and the pins.
When you look at your career thus far, How do you feel you've done to this stage?
I think I've done pretty good. I didn't graduate college on time, so I always feel like old, I guess. I mean, I know I'm not old,
right.
But at the end of the day, I feel like I could have been doing more if I would have graduated college on time. So I think I'm doing pretty good. I've only been out of college for 2 years. I was literally only a semester behind my graduation, but I still feel like I'm behind. But I think I'm doing good. I know there's a lot more I can do and I will do. So there's no stopping me right now.
It looks like at the station that you work for, WTUG, there's a balance between the on-air personality. I think someone on at midday and you're on in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
You like the evening shift?
Yeah, I mean, I was doing middays at my old station in West Palm Beach, but evenings are cool. At the end of the day, I love radio, so any part I can be on is good enough for me. And my numbers are doing well right now, so.
What do you think about the music that's being played today? Cause I think you all are old school and classic.
Yeah, we're Urban AC, but we skew a little younger.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the music. I'm one of those people who can listen to anything. Like, I love rock music. I love country music. Like, sometimes I'm in the country station just jamming out. So I just love music, but I really like our selection that we play.
What do you do between songs?
What do I do between songs? I'm probably usually singing along to the songs or dancing one of them.
So I know what my day usually looks like prior to going on air. What does your day look like prior to you going on air?
Okay, so I don't get into the office until like 2 o'clock. So my day is usually free. I was working out. I need to get back on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm usually just at my house working on my company, Women in Radio, until I get here. And then I just go at it from there.
Do you get a chance to go out and tout the advantages of young women being in radio?
I've spoken at one elementary school since I've been here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to be mentoring a few fifth graders in the coming week. But I love to share my experience with people because I think it helped a lot.
Megan Meg Taylor, on-air radio personality and assistant program director with WTUG and founder of Women in Radio. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions as your future In Black America programs, email us at inblackamerica@kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. Remember to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. You can hear previous programs online at kut.org. Until we have the opportunity again for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm Johnny O'Hanson Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. This has been a production of KUT Radio.